In the presentation, the lecture 4 presentation, we looked at a sample mutual fund after looking at many different fund families and several different types of funds. We looked at a fund that had been around for 83 years. And so now we're going to take a look at what kind of returns that fund has created for us over those 83 years. And hopefully you'll see that stock investing is a bit of a roller coaster over time, but if we stick to it and the world doesn't end, we should do well. So I'm not going to use the link here because it doesn't look as good when we record it. I already have it on my local machine, so I'm going to minimize this. And this is called a hypothetical illustration. Why? Because what we're doing is we're going into the past and showing you what's happened in the past. Because we can't go into the future. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. And anybody who tells you, other than a bank, which is guaranteed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, is either deluding themselves or trying to delude you or both. So these hypothetical illustrations must be vetted. That means they must be approved by the Securities and Exchange Commission, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, FINRA, and can only be used by licensed professionals. You have to have a registered representative license, which is another fancy word, the legal word for a stockbroker. So I'm licensed, so I can do these. You see it prepared by. But you're going to see in all of these things disclaimers. Investments are not FDIC insured, nor are they deposits of or guaranteed by a bank or any other entity, so they may lose value. Figures shown are past results and not predictive of results in future periods. Current and future results may be lower or higher than those shown. Share prices and returns will vary, so investors may lose money. Investing for short periods makes losses more likely. Does anybody read this stuff? It's Greek, it's Latin, it's legalese. It might as well be plain song. That's why I took the opportunity to chant it, because it has that mystical quality. At least that's the way I look at it. Because nobody reads this stuff. They unless you're trying to go to sleep. Right. If you're trying to go to sleep, then this stuff will be really, really useful for you. But we're going to get down to the good stuff. So we're going to ignore all the stuff about how dangerous they are and that you can lose money. You will lose money, especially if it's stocks. There's going to be times you're going to lose money. But we're going to go all the way down to where we actually start our investment. The industry, I don't know why, but they use $10,000 as an initial investment. That's what they do. How many people you know have $10,000 lying around the house? I like $50, $100 a month. But anyway, I'll do what they tell me to do. Remember, this mutual fund has a sales charge. It's in its initial version. Now they have all different flavors. But originally, back in 1934... Actually, I think it started before that, but this company was changed hands, and these people who run it now started in January 1st, 1934, with $10,000 and no further investments. And that was in the midst of the Great Depression, folks, so things weren't that great. And then we had World War II, so we bounced around, but we didn't do too badly. There was a big drop in 1937 as a recession hit, but here we're coming out of the Great Depression and World War II, and in the 50s and 60s, the stock market went in two directions, up and way up. And so we break out into a significant chunk of change. In the 60s, the go-go years, technology and science and the atomic world, and by 1972... we had $1.2 million. So it took almost 40 years, but our $10,000 became $1.2 million. And that's when you heard people say, ooh, 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 is it too late to get in? And when you hear people say that, the answer, dear students, is yes, it's too late to get in, because 2 years later, your $1.2 million has become $840,000. Honey, remember that retire? Yes. Did you run? Did you cash everything out? I hope not, because 2 years later, you're back above where you were in 72. And this is what stock investing is like, right? And at the bottom, you heard people say, ooh, 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 is it too late to get out? And when you hear people say that, the answer is yes. Now's the time you should be investing. But it doesn't feel good to invest when everyone else is saying, I'm getting out of here. This place. Yeah, right. Right. That's why Warren Buffett says investing is simple, but it ain't easy. Because it ain't easy to put money in when everybody else is losing their shirts. And so the 70s, you know, bounced around. The 70s were a difficult time for the economy, difficult time for the stock market. Why? Watergate, Vietnam, we had inflation, the oil shocks. You younger folks don't believe me, but there were times when there were lines over a mile long waiting to get gas. And the worst thing about the 70s was disco, folks. You young folks just don't believe me that there was a time, I think it was about 6 months, when men were wearing high heel platform shoes. Not me, I wasn't, but yeah, well, anyway, so out of the 70s, the baby, what was the big problem of the 70s, folks? The big problem was the baby boom generation. Here you had this huge bulge of population that had been born after World War II, and they're all coming of age, and they all need jobs, and they all need refrigerators, and cars, and shoes, and houses, and I said jobs already. Yeah, the economy just had a very difficult time assimilating all these people. But once it was done, and we came out of the 70s, we had the new paradigm, as you heard, that was a very popular phrase in the 80s. With globalization and new technologies, and the stock market in the 80s and the 90s went in two directions, up and way up, and people just believed that there would never be, you know, a downturn. Well, in 1987, between 1987 and, I'm sorry, 1986 and 1987, here's the end of 86 and at the end of 87, it looks like, well, the market went up a little bit. Wrong. What happened? The irrational exuberance had taken hold, and you don't see the month-to-month, but if you could see the month-to-month, what you would see is that by August of 1987, that $6.685 million had hit over $9 million. The stock market had gone up 40% in 8 months, and what did you hear? Ooh, 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 is it too late to get in? Right. 2-3 months later, October 19th, 1987, Black Monday, the market fell 23% in 1 day. And you heard people say, ooh, 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 is it too late to get out? But if you had just ignored, if you had just gone to sleep like Rip Van Winkle for the entire year, your investment actually went up. Not a whole lot. But it went up. It, in the market as a whole, went up in 1987, even though it had skyrocketed and then shot back to earth. And then in the 90s, it got even better, or some might say worse, because now we had incredible new technologies that were transforming our lives that many of you millennials just can't imagine living without. Cell phones and internet. Biotechnology, they mapped the genome project, blue skies, technology advances from here until the universe, and in the year 2000, we had $47 million. Oh, ooh, ooh, is it too late to get in? Yes, as a matter of fact, it is. And this fund actually did better going down than the market as a whole, because between March of 2000, when the peak hit, And October 2002, the Standard & Poor's 500, we'll discuss that in detail as we go along, the 500 largest companies based in the United States, fell almost 50%. Right. So your 47 million became 38.7, almost 39 million. Is it too late to get out? Yes, it's too late to get out. And so 2003, if we had just stuck by 2003, between 2002 and 2003, we're back up to higher where we were at the dot-com, as they called it, the technology bubble, the dot-com bubble. And so 2004, 5, and 6 were actually pretty good years. Even though we had a war raging, we did okay. And by 2007, we had $70 million. Not bad, huh? And then the Great Recession, right? Now, in the stock market, you didn't hear people saying, ooh, 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 is it too late to get in? Where was the bubble in the mid-2000s? In housing, right. If you remember, houses were just skyrocketing, not all over the country, but on the coasts, and some a little bit in Chicago and the like, but mostly in the West and in the Eastern Coast, housing prices just skyrocketed. And the mortgages that were tied to those houses were then sold as bonds. Bonds are loans. We'll discuss those in detail later on. So the bubble was really in the bond market, specifically the bonds that were tied to the mortgages that were tied to the houses that had appreciated way overvalued, to way overvalued, and the Great Recession hit. We don't call it a Great Depression. It was a Great Recession. We didn't have 25% unemployment, although many people said we did. It wasn't that bad, but it was pretty bad. And look at what happened. Your $70 million went down to $46 million. Ooh, 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 is it too late to get out? Yes. Right. And so we clawed our way back in the 2008 through 2012. It took, 5 years for us to finally get back to where we were in 2007. And I love it when many of the right-wing folks scream and holler how bad Obama was, a socialist. Obama was one of the best presidents for the stock market ever, if not the best, one of the best. But was it his fault? I mean, was it his does he get the credit? Yes, you get the credit when you're the president, but it's not you. He just came in at a time when the market had fallen so hard. The Standard & Poor's 500 had fallen 50%, and some stocks had fallen a lot more, and houses had fallen even more. That is very unusual when houses fall that much. So, yes, you're the president. You don't really have a whole lot to do with the economy. You can screw things up royally, but no, you don't really have a whole lot to do with what's going on. But if the market does well during your tenure, you get the credit. If it doesn't, you get the blame. Oh, well, that's the way it works. Now, 2012, we had clawed ourselves back to where we were at the end of the before the Great Recession. But 2013 was one of those years where you just go, oh, wow, it feels so good. It went up 30%. And then 14 and 15 weren't bad. 15 was a little, nothing much going on. But 2016 and so far in 2017, well, the first half of 2017, we've done very well. And look, your $10,000, dear, it's this exponential growth. This is what exponential growth is. It makes staggering numbers. Your initial $10,000 has become $133.5 million. But here's what I want you to really key on. Remember we said back in Chapter 1 that stocks should give us 8, 9, 10% over time, assuming the world doesn't end? Well, these people, and they're not the only ones. I'm not trying to sell you ICA, folks. It's a great mutual fund, but it's been around forever, but it's not what I'm trying to do. What I'm trying to do is show you what's possible. This fund has generated over 83 and a half years, 12%. Now, do I think they're going to do that in the future? No, I don't. I just think it's unrealistic to expect people to continue to do 12%. But that doesn't mean they won't, and it doesn't mean they will. That's the future. Now, this particular fund is categorized as a domestic growth and income stock fund, which means they invest mostly in United States companies for growth, capital gains, and for income dividends. And so my humble opinion is that you really, if you're just starting out, you really should look at a global growth and income stock mutual fund. And why? Just because the world is global. So you want your manager to be able to look all around the world. Well, the problem is there aren't any global growth and income stock mutual funds that have been around for 83 years. So we just don't have that at our disposal. But this is the kind of mutual fund that I think is the best place to start. Global or domestic, if you're so inclined, growth and income for most people. Now, everyone's different. So now, included in these illustrations is a graph. And the graph uses arithmetic scale versus a logarithmic scale. What does that mean? Well, arithmetic scale is what we expect it to be. It's arithmetic. Every unit is the same. In this case, 20 million, and it goes up. And what we see is that exponential growth. The first 40, 50 years, you can't even tell that there was anything going on at all because the numbers are so small relative to what they are now. In the 1972 to 1974, you see a little bit of dip, but, you know, not much. And then you start to see the great sweep of exponential growth. But notice that since the numbers are larger, now we can see the roller coaster that stock investing is. And we do not want to get too excited when the market hits these new highs. We want to temper our enthusiasm. And we certainly don't want to run and hide and cash everything out when the market hits lows. That's the time to put more money in. Right. And now we see that it can't continue. Well, of course it can continue. There's a lot more to be done. There are hundreds of millions of people who are coming out of poverty who, for the first time, have extra money in their pocket and now can afford things that we in the West take for granted. I personally am incredibly optimistic, assuming we don't blow ourselves up, die in our own waste, meteorite, tsunami, Ebola becomes the rage, disco returns. Now, I can hear you asking me, well, this is great, Piano, but I don't have an 83-time horizon. Right. This is simply unrealistic for most people, but who knows? You millennials, who knows? You might be living well into your 120s, 130s, and 40s with technology. We'll see, modern technology. So what we're going to do next, what I want you to do next, is take a look at the illustrations that are more typical. 30 years, $100 a month. 40 years, $100 a month. What happens if we then increase it by $10? You know, first year $100, second year $110, two fewer trips to $5, Starbucks. And then for the folks who are in their 40s, 50s, what do we do then? Well, then you need a lot more money. You need to put at least $500 or more per month, and the news isn't good. When you're young, time is your ally. When you're older, time is your enemy. So please now do take a look at the four different examples of investing over your working career. I hope this has been illustrative, because it's an illustration, hypothetical illustration, that the news is good. You know, with all the terrible things that you hear about on the news every day because they're trying to get you to be afraid, be very afraid. The news is good over the long sweep of time, assuming the world doesn't end. See ya.